Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace, even though the temperature's dropped outside and people's wearing long sleeves and covers, and I don't think they're wearing their long handles, but it did get a little cool this week and weekend, and sometimes that can be a blessing because, it might be hot and you won't go out on your boats and grill out like you normally do. I'm just joking. That's what a lot of people think this weekend's about. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it's for Memorial Day weekend. It's for the ones who died during wartime and gave their life so we can have freedom in the United States. But I want to share this one thing with you right quick. The Lord Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, okay? And he paid for our sins that we'll be able to live forever with him. And that's the one thing you need to keep in memory, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. And I'm not taking away from our military or anything like that. I'm just saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, okay? And got a couple prayer requests and praise items. You know, Linda's have some heart issues and Dennis has had a couple surgeries. And many other people has talking about their churches and wish they had churches like this and able to be able to learn about the Word of God right and invite it. Keep us in thought and prayer. Keep those ones that are preaching this truth, dispensational truth, across the globe. It's just not, a handful of us. There's many of us that teaches the Word of God right and invite it from the King James Bible. So we need to continue to lift those people up. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're tuning in for the first time on our Facebook Live, we are establishing a church in Cambridge, Ohio. We did some ads on the Facebook, and a couple of you have mentioned about where you meet, and also this is where we're at in Cambridge, Ohio. You can contact us through the messenger if you want more details on that. But we also are on our YouTube channel. We're on Boxcast. If you can download a Boxcast app, you can also put it on your Roku TV, your Apple TV, and watch us live and watch other lessons that we have. There is a cost to that, so I'm not going to say it's free. It's free to you, but it's not free to us. So anytime you do any advertising or scheduling services and stuff like that, there is a cost. This weekend is usually the weekend that we have our Memorial Day weekend, Ohio Grace Ministries. And I know many of you are saddened that we didn't get together as the weekend. But next year, if Lord willing and tarries, we'll be in a different location, not far from here, Salt Fork Lodge. And it's a wonderful state park. And the lodge is very updated, and also I will continue to bring information on that. You can actually start booking your reservations now, but there's something I want to share with you. You can go to our webpage, ohiograceministries.org, or our dispensationalbiblechurch.org. So anyway, let's go to word and prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the lesson that we're doing today and the praise items and praise requests, we lift everything up to you. And in doing so, it brings us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sure, I think we're... Donna's, I think it's outside. We just pulled up. But anyway, we're in lesson 10. And we was expecting some visitors and they just showed up. So shame on them being late. Just joking, guys. But anyway, we are in lesson 10, and maybe get a little loud here in a second, but just bear with me. We're in lesson 10, and we were talking about last lesson 9 about being involved in the Abrahamic covenant and its necessary fulfillment of God's promise that he gave to Abraham and his descendants. So this promise over here in Abraham will be fulfilled over here in the kingdom program. And so in chapter 17... Genesis chapter 17, if you go there with me, Genesis 17, And you'll see that God erected a middle wall of partition. He gave them a promise, but then there's a middle wall partition between this circumcision and uncircumcision. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will be multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face." We're in chapter 17, morning, chapter 17 of Genesis. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram," which is the exalted father, but thy name shall be Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now we're talking about some things and about circumcision and uncircumcision. Verse 7. Abraham is the promise of nations and kings to rule over the nations. That's what they're talking about here. And I will establish my covenant, verse 7, between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in the generations of everlasting covenant, to me to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God. That's a big promise. You know, it's just not something just to tread lightly, but he's talking about scriptures. He's talking about land. And when you use scriptures, when the scripture says land, it gives a dimension. So you just don't allegorically spiritualize, oh, he's not really talking about that land over there. He's talking about land, right? And you look at the fact that literally. So there's some people out there that don't believe in a millennium. They're all millennialists and post-millennialists, but we believe and teach a pre-millennium, and this is a good example of what's going to take place before the millennium kingdom. That is going to take place over there. Genesis chapter 22. So when you can get a map out and find it, right? We got the Bible out and we found where the land is. And we want to understand who the seed of Abraham is. So this is what we're looking at right now. We're going through fundamentals of dispensationalism, and we're lesson 10. You know, there's 9 lessons before that. But we've got between now and the catching away to take our time through this. So we're talking about this seed line. We're talking about what God was doing back here. And when you understand who the seed of Abraham is, after Abraham offered Isaac on a mountain, okay, you got the seed of Abraham, right? Now Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 says, "And the angel of the Lord called up unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now, so as you see, the seed of Abraham, it's not just talking about Isaac, even though he had Isaac there, right? But it's the nation, and he will multiply, that seed will come out of Abraham. And however, the multiplied seed will come out of Abraham through a certain God-ordained, God-chosen people. And we know who that is, don't we? Us Gentiles, right?
No.
It's the nation Israel. But Abraham had how many sons? He had 2 sons we know about, right? Ishmael and Isaac. And God does not give the blessing to Ishmael. but he gives it to Isaac. Where you were at, Genesis 22? Mm-hmm. Well, Genesis, if you remember what he does give to Ishmael. Genesis chapter 17, here's what he said to Ishmael. Genesis 17, 20 and 21. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a what? Great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. So he did promise Ishmael. Didn't God just promise Abraham that he's going to make him a great nation and exceedingly come out? So if you know anything about the Middle East, okay, and many of you do, there's two types of people fighting over all the time.
Israel and Palestine.
Ishmael and Isaac. That's what it amounts to. Mm-hmm. And Esau and Jacob. So they're a family feud over there. And sometimes you don't want to stick your nose in between family feuds, because what happens, usually they turn on you, right. You know, that type of thing. But the thing is, he promised Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. And here's the covenant that's confirmed in Isaac. And we're talking about that seed line. It's very, very important, because that's what Genesis 3:15, the woman's seed and thy seed. And there was a famine in the land, verse 1, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thee see to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee seed all these countries, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, this just reinstated what Abraham's covenant was. Okay, God told Abraham he's going to bless Abraham. Okay, but the covenant backs to Isaac. Now, the covenant is given to Abraham, and it's confirmed to who? Right at this point, Isaac. And Isaac has two sons. It's funny how 2, 2, 2, 2 all the way down through there. And you know, back in the garden.
Adam
and
Eve.
Yeah, and they had, you know, two seeds. And a woman's seed and a seed. So it's very, very important to understand some things that's going on here. And he has two sons. And his name is Esau and Jacob. God chose Jacob, not Esau. And confirmed in a covenant. And, you know, people said that Jacob stole the blessings from his father, from Esau, and plotted against that. But that's not how he got the blessing, okay? He got it because God gave it to him. You with me? Mm-hmm. And Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 13. Jacob is asleep under the stars of Bethel, and he's running from his brother. And he's verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above. He had a dream about the ladder coming down. Remember, coming down from Adam, heaven. And what do we say that? What we call that ladder?
Jacob's ladder.
Okay, but you also know it was ascending and descending. The angels wasn't coming out of heaven, coming down, descending, and going back up. It's ascending and descending. There's a very, very important point there. We're not going to cover that. But the fact is that God has made his authority on this earth right there. Okay? And the great city of God will be right there in that area. But look, he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. And now that's a reinstatement of Abraham's promise, guys. It goes from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now it's going to go to the 12 tribes and to the nations that comes out of them. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Moses is standing with the nation Israel as they are in the possession to go into the promised land. He's looking at the promised land. And you can imagine that, all them years being in Egypt, right? 400 years down there away from the promised land. They're going to go in the promised land that God gave
Abraham.
And it's just not that little bitty stretch of land that Israel's in now. He said, when he told Abraham, get up and walk, it's huge. It's huge. But verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to the seed after them. See that? They're there, right? They're going into land. But there's something interesting in verses 10 and 11. The Lord, verse 10, your God had multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you, and he hath promised you. Now, what did God promise Abraham he would do? As to what? What did this verse just say? Yeah. So I know a lot of people says, well, there's billions of stars up there, and you know, well, that's true. And if we think about it a little, but God said God don't give you a promise and not fulfill it. So that's something, I don't know if you ever saw that or not, because I would look at that, the stars of the heaven, the sands of the seas, that's a lot of people. So God gave the promise to the whole nation Israel, and he set aside a group of people there and formed the nation out of them to go in and possess the land, their own land, by the way. And it filled up the land and be a blessing to other nations. Now, the Gentile nations are to get their blessings through that one nation in times past. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I think many of us know, when we study dispensational truths, we can see some distinctions here about what this top line is up here is circumcision, and what this bottom line down here is uncircumcision. And God spoke to Abraham and passed on to Isaac, passed on to Jacob, and passed on the nation in itself. And this is how God set the nation aside for all the other nations of the earth, and they would be a channel of blessings on the earth. That's why when we use this timeline up here represents the true nation Israel, who they were supposed to be in the Bible. But we also know that they became apostated, and they started messing around with other gods, and they wasn't who they was to be a blessing to the nations. They became a part of those nations out there, and it messed them up. And that's why this group of people up here, Israelite, was supposed to be a light in the land and be a light of a blessing and in that dark world. Now, notice that when God set them aside, he erected what Apostle Paul says, a middle wall partition. Okay, it just wasn't about a promise. It was about circumcision and uncircumcision. And that middle wall partition represents, it stated plainly that circumcision is the middle wall partition. That circumcision right here was a wall, a partition that you either was an Israelite, a Jew, or you was not. Okay? And it's a thing that separates Israel apart from any other nations in the world and the earth at the time. And the circumcision made with the made in the flesh, made by hand, is a sign and a seal of a covenant. And if you're going to be in the line of people on that side of the line of the Abrahamic covenant, then you were circumcised with the flesh made by hands. And that you're, and the signs are in, you're in that covenant with Israel. Genesis 17. Verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt what? Me and thee. And it, circumcision shall be a token, a sign of the covenant. Okay, you see that, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why Romans chapter 4, he said the sign of the covenant, the seal of the righteousness he had by faith. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that born in the house and bought with money of a stranger, which is not thy seed. Now on the eighth day, that circumcision was a religious ceremony. Okay? And had to do with no health and that type of thing. And it was a ceremony. That's why Jesus, what day was he circumcised in Luke? Eighth day. And it was a religious ceremony. He says, he that is born, verse 13, in thy house, and that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and by my covenant shall be in the flesh of for an everlasting covenant. Now, this is why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says, and the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. We know today that God does the circumcision, right? And it's the circumcision of the heart. And that was really the issue all through that. And it is the circumcision that identifies a person of being part of the everlasting covenant of God with Abraham. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So when Paul says in times past, ye called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision, that's an important distinction. I think many of us recognize that now, understanding some dispensational truths. I never thought about it much growing up, you know, in a religious world, and I didn't think nothing bad, you know, bad or good about it. Abraham and all that stuff. It was not just a racial distinction, it was a national distinction, and there's a spiritual issue going on there, guys. The promise and the purpose of God are with those people, the circumcision, and the uncircumcision, Gentiles, are what? Cut off. Right? And from the covenants, because they was on the wrong side of the petition. You don't have to turn there, but you can. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 53. Solomon is praying about Israel as he dedicates the temple. And in this verse 53, he says, for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thy inheritance, as they spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. You see that? So God separated Israel out from among the Gentiles and gave them a sign and a seal and separated them and carried that about in their flesh. And the thing is here is Solomon's showing you when they were separated. Okay, that's why when Pharaoh When God told Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my firstborn go, my first son go, that's when they was first born over here. That's why Israel has to be born again over here. See, we're not born again. We're a new creation. We're something totally different. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell long, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Israel is not to be reckoned among, Israel is not supposed to be a part of the nations. But what about the United Nations? See, that type of thing. This is something totally different. Psalms chapter 147. Psalms, thank you. Psalms chapter 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto who? Israel. Now God did not give his word to the Gentiles. He gave it to Jacob, Israel. Now watch verse 20. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Does that sound good? No. Well, do you praise God that he did not give us Gentiles the word of God? No, not that. You don't do that today. Right. Because why? We have a book today. See, we have the word of God to us and for us, right? Amen, thank God. And if you live back in times past as a Gentiles, you would not have it. It would not be yours. That's pretty sad, because what are we taught at a young age? That all the Bible's for you, every promise is in the book for you. We've been taught that in religion worlds. But all of the promises is not to you. We're looking at some things today that the promises that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not to us Gentiles down here. And it belongs to Israel. There's a great quote, Miles Cloverdale. He lived in the 1500s. He said this, "It shall greatly help ye to understand the scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after." That's a mouthful, but in other words, you rightly divide the word of truth. All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. And that's exactly what he's saying is. So if you take these scriptures over here that we're looking at and apply it to you, you're in error. Okay, you're in error. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. And if you know anything about Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, Paul is writing to Israel, and this is dispensational issues. Paul is writing to the saved Israelites that was in this little flock over here, telling them God hadn't forgot about you. Okay, he's mentioning it to them. For I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In other words, Paul's saying, hey, if I give up my salvation, I would, because I want my kinsmen to be saved. Verse 4, who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever? That's who Israel was. Now, if you know Ephesians chapter 2, you was without God. Without covenants, without promise, you're strangers. That's not good. There's an eightfold privilege status given to the people of the circumcision that the people of the uncircumcision, Gentiles, didn't have. And the reason it was given to them is because Israel is to be the channel of blessings to the nations. God just didn't say, everybody has my blessings back then. He used a channel. He used a vehicle. And that explains the middle wall partition. Okay? And the issue in circumcision is in times past. Now, next lesson we'll get into about the law fortifying that circumcision. But before we get there, there's two doors that God had placed in the middle wall partition. Two passageways that someone from the Gentile nations, the uncircumcised, could go to the circumcision, Israel, and get blessings. Many of you know what they are, but for the ones who don't, we're going to look at some of them. And the only way the blessings from Israel could go down through the Gentiles is for the Gentiles to go to that middle wall partition and knock on one of those two doors. Now, if you know the temple, they did have a wall there. Gentiles could not go across that wall. Gentiles had a court in the temple area, but they couldn't go past that wall. And in Exodus chapter 12, we're doing a lot of verses today, but that's okay. Verse 48, God has given instructions to Israel about the Passover. Many of you know what the Passover was, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Here's a Gentile living among Israel who wants to keep the Passover. And he wants to worship God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What shall he do? Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And it shall be as one that is born in land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So he comes in, wants to do the Passover, he gets what?
Circumcised.
Yeah. And when the Gentiles get circumcised, he puts them on the Israel side of the wall of partition. And he becomes a part of Israel. He becomes a Jew or a proselyte. That's a proper term. But they looked at him. Once you did that, they looked at him like he's a natural born citizen. Now that should tell us some things what's going on in this country right now. You know, how do you become a natural born citizen? How do you become a natural citizen? You do the right things. Right? And that's what Israel just wouldn't take anybody in. The time passed. And he was part of the commonwealth, and he was treated no different than the one that has been physically born as a descendant of Abraham. That's a good thing, right?
Yep.
And you find find references to proselytes in like Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. Jews and proselytes. See, if you look at Acts chapter 2 and there's 15 nations there, they're all Jewish. They came from all over. They're Jew. Why would a Gentile, me, want to go to Pentecost? If I was a Jew, they would come there. That was the party days. But me just walking down the street, I wouldn't recognize Israel's party days and be a part of it because I'm a Gentile. I was doing other things, eating sausage, biscuits,
gravy,
shrimp. Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8, if you want to turn there, if not, I'm going to move on. Verse 17, Esther's illustration about this. Verse 17, in every province and every city, whosoever the king commanded and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land, the Persians that was in there, became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Okay, they became proselytes, these people did, because they wanted to be a part of them, part of that. And it made the Jews happy that they was doing that. How? They became circumcised. For they got on the wrong side of the wall, or the right side of the wall, you embraced who they were, the circumcision, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, there was one door through the middle wall partition. And what if a person did not want to come become a Jew? You ever thought about that? Why would I want to be that? But I want to see God the Father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. How do you get blessings? How do you get... There you go. You got the idea. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And if there's any person, this person can receive the blessings while remaining on the wrong side of the wall. What if I wanted to remain down here? I didn't want to become a Jew. Okay? I didn't want to become circumcised. But I wanted a blessing. Was there a provision there? Yes, we know that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 12. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now God intended all the Gentiles to be blessed through Israel in times past. See, when we talk about dispensational truths, we know today that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. But over here in times past, there was. And God's intent was to all families of the earth be blessed. But was all families of the earth be blessed? How about today? God made a provision through grace that through his blood shed that everybody can be saved. Does that mean everybody is saved? No. Okay, he made a provision how you do that, but you had to believe that. And it's upon all and to all that believe. Very simple. How could an uncircumcised Gentile get the blessings of God had for him in Israel? Them that bless thee, I will what? Bless. So if a Gentile is on the outside of that middle wall partition, wanted to worship the God of Abraham, like Jacob, he would bless Israel. And that Gentile would be receiving the blessings of God through Israel that way. Now in Luke, we're not turning there, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 25 and 27, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the illustration of two Gentiles in the Old Testament in times past who blessed God. And it's a study that you should look at, and God's blessing them because they blessed Israel. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Kings, go to 1 Kings. I'm going to try to get through this, so, yeah, we'll get through it. I'm going a little fast, but y'all just bear with me. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 8, as an illustration in the ministry of Elijah, a great man of God in Israel. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came upon him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, and which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11. And she said she was going to fetch it. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. You see what the lady does? She looks at Elijah and says, mister, as the Lord thy God liveth. You know what she does? She acknowledges the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knows Israel's God of gods. Mm-hmm. She knows Israel's God as a God. Mm-hmm. And verse 13, Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast asked, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, And after make for thee and thy son. Verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house, and he and her house did eat what? She received a blessing there. And she did not run out of meal or oil. Isn't that a blessing? How many times you run out of meal? Do we have olive oil? I think so. And you're at the store. Well, you take that, I think so, and you come home. And there's one little drop in there. That'd be a blessing if it was full right now. What? Just joking. But look, she got the blessing because she acknowledged the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and being the true God, and blessed Israel by making Elijah a cake first. And Mark chapter 7, verse 27 says, let the children of Israel first be filled. Mm-hmm. And is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Okay? The widow woman understood that Elijah represent Israel and blessing Israel, making Elijah cake, she received a blessing. But you got to remember what I just said about let the children of Israel first be fed. Lord Jesus Christ was feeding the nation Israel so they could be full, and then they would be able to give it to the nations out there. But he said, cast it to the dogs. That's what they call Gentiles down here. Another illustration in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Naaman the leper, 7 dunks in a muddy pond, and then God cured him of leprosy. As a result of that, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his companies, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in who? Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessings of thy servants. You see that God is the God of Israel, the true God, and he seeks to bless Elijah, the man of God, therefore Israel. This man is converted. And look what he did in verse 17 here. Naaman said, shalt there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? Question mark, right? Mm-hmm. 2 mules burden with earth. What's those mules going to do? Not only work, but what do you usually do with a mule?
Pack a load on it.
Okay. Burden of earth. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifices unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now this guy, what he's doing is, he's saying, I know who the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. He is no longer going to be sacrificing to other gods. Mm-hmm. Now what would happen in times past? Were there other gods in the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Us Gentiles was worship all kinds of things. Gentiles out there today.
Unknown God.
Rocks. Things fall from heaven. Boom. You know, if you can remember, they thought Barnabas and Apollos was Jupiter and, what was the other one? Jupiter and,
Mars.
Not Mars, but,
Saturn.
No, there was, I forget who it is, but you can look it up. They thought there was gods out there. They was worshiping, you know, the Romans gods and stuff. But look at this. He's going back home with a truckload of earth. From where? Palestine. To take home with him so he can make an altar of earth, just like it says to do in Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. And he knows if he's going to worship the God of Israel, he must be doing it standing in Palestine. You ever notice that? People gathers up earth. You go... There's people out there, every state they go in, they take a little earth or take a rock or something, you know, that type of thing. And this is what this going on is. But he took two mules packed with it. He's going to stand on the earth in Palestine and worship God. Because he don't want to be over here on the uncircumcised dirt. You know what I mean? He's going to be over here. And so he wants to take the dirt home with him. And that man got converted. And he understood the program. Now, in the review a little bit, there's only two ways a Gentile can obtain Israel's blessing in times past. What are they? You had to become a
proselyte.
Okay. Or you what?
Bless Israel.
And the next time we're going to look at what fortifies that wall or petition. Because there is a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. And that wall's there. What fortifies that wall is the law. Okay? And to me, the law never made you any better. It's always pointed, showed you how bad you are. Okay? But that law also separated you in times past. Now, what the greatest thing is happening today is the fact that today, when we understand the dispensation of the grace of God, that's not in times past, but now, God makes no distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. Everybody's down here. And then God considers them lost down here. Everybody's uncircumcised. They're lost. Even an Israelite today needs to know who Jesus Christ is. Okay? There's no benefits, and I might get in trouble saying this, there's no benefits for us to bless the nation Israel over there. When God's not dealing with the nation, he's dealing what? With a body. Body of believers. That's what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace. And that's what throws a lot of churches and religion system out, because they want to put you back under this system over here and tries to tell you this is what God wants you to do. This is what Jesus said to do. And you can't do it. You literally cannot do it, guys. You're lying to yourself. You're trying to spiritualize what's telling spiritualize. It's about him, what he's done in us today, and that's what we need to be concentrating on. In the dispensation of grace today, you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. He places you in a body, and this body is going to be seated in the heavenly places. This nation right here and the proselytes and over here is going to be placed on this earth over here when it's all said and done, and God takes the heaven and he takes the earth and puts it back under Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to be sitting up there having preeminence over it all. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole theme of the Bible, guys. It's a theme about authority, sitting on a universe, a throne over the whole entire universe. This book right here is telling us that there's a battle out there. And there's a spiritual battle going on in our minds and in our hearts. And those that are unsaved, they think they know God. They don't know God. They know little g's. But the big G of the Bible is he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm totally convinced that all men's not going to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's people out there ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we look at the world today, as much as we love the green grass, love camping, we love horseback riding, we love all... That's some really nice things, but that does not compare with God, what God has for us eternity. Amen. And that's the main thing we need to be focused on. This world is corrupt. The people in it's corrupt. And I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. Nothing surprises me with mankind. Okay? When you put your faith in man, you're going to fail. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he says, what he's doing. Study the Bible's own way. 2 Timothy 2:15.
So you can show yourself approved unto God, rightly divide the word of truth.
You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to. Mm-hmm. Because it's not enough to be scriptural. You can know all the scriptures in the world, but if you're not dispensationally understanding where he's at in times past, but now in ages to come, you're just out there. You're just like this. And your soul, the real you, needs to be growing. Okay? And when you get the right doctrine inside of you, you're like, I know where that's at. I know what it's not. I might not know it all, you know what's not, and how to place things. Let's go to the word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for your time. Thank you for the things you've given us. Lord, as we have learned some things about the seed and the promise and how God has made some distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision times past, we understand today that there is no distinction between that. That God, once we're saved, he circumcised our heart with his own hands. And he places us in the body, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you're listening through the way of our website, we want you to visit there. If you want to donate, we have a donate button there. If you want to come and visit us. We got some visitors down from Stark County today with smiles on our face. But wherever you're at, you can proclaim the good news of the gospel of the grace of God by just sharing what you know. And so I encourage you to do that. Until next week, may God bless you.